He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And we're kind of picking up right where we left off last week with a nice start to the market. We had a really good week in the market last week, obviously, with the cooler-than-expected inflation reports. The market really had it wrong, not only the stock market, but the bond market. Right now, the Dow is out of the gate. It's up 21 points. Not a big jump, but it is a follow-through. It's at 34,530. The S&P is up another 5. It's above 4,500. 4,510 is where the S&P 500 is. The NASDAQ, which has been roaring, it's up 58 points again today. That's 40 basis points. The NASDAQ's at 14,169. The small caps are up 0.5%. A little sell-off in oil today. It's down 65 cents to 74.77. Gold, which had a good week last week, while the U.S. dollar had a bad week, gold is at 1,951. Looks like it could be headed back to that 2,000 area. We'll see on a weak dollar. The 10-year is flat today, 3.83. But don't forget, we were 25 basis points above that just a week ago. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. This week will be a big week for earnings. In fact, 60 S&P 500 companies will be reporting their earnings, and we're going to have a real good feel for this quarter's earnings season real soon here by the end of this week for sure. And we finished up the market on Friday. We saw the Friday fade, Barry. What is that? Yeah, is that just people closing... logging vacation off at about noon?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Eastern Standard Time. Closing out their positions for the weekend, headed to the Hamptons or Florida these days is where they all go. It just seems to be kind of a deal. I actually have gotten into the habit early Friday in my own little portfolio that I manage and have fun with to buy like inverse Sark two times, inverse Cathie Woods two times. That usually pans out well. If the market's up in the morning, you buy that thing. Market's down in the afternoon, you close that position out. So I was one of those closing out my position before the Friday bell. The NASDAQ, which was up all day, ended down 25 on Friday. Yeah. And, of course, last week it was all about the inflation reports. They were key. They were key to the market. And the market obviously was pretty far off in their calculations of what they expected in the way of inflation. And let's not forget that the 10-year was at 4.05, and now it's cleared down to 3.82. So 23 basis points have come out of the 10-year in just 5 days. That's a pretty swift correction telling you that the market really had it wrong. Okay, so what else do we have here? We got a lot of earnings this week. We had the big banks report on Friday. I can't really see much there that was better than expected. Interest income was better than expected. The big winner last week in the earnings parade was Wells Fargo. Not Wells Fargo, United Healthcare. United Healthcare was probably the earnings report of this season so far. We're going to go through some of the companies here that will report this week. The S&P 500 had its best week since early July on favorable inflation data. You also had Amazon having a big week. They had their Prime Day, biggest day ever in the history of man for sales. It clicks on Amazon, right?
Yeah, that means there's a bunch of packages going probably floating around,
I
ready
noticed,
to get delivered right about now.
I notice that the lead time on stuff right now for Amazon is 3 or 4 days. It's not like tomorrow right now. They've got a huge backlog that they got to deliver. Google had a big week last week when they unleashed Bard on Europe and Brazil. Microsoft had a fairly good week. That should come to some kind of head this week, I would think.
Well, yeah, and you got I think you mentioned that the deal needs to get done by tomorrow with Activision, and I saw where I guess the FTC, I think they lost their appeal, so we'll see if it goes through. I think Activision's trading its highest that it has really, kind of since that price was, that initial purchase price was announced. So.
Yes, and I guess Microsoft's pursuit of Activision could make it to the finish line today if the last remaining courtroom and regulatory hurdles are cleared. I would think that that would be bullish for Microsoft, which right now is flat. In fact, it's down just a tiny little bit here today. So maybe we get finally an end to that drama. Tomorrow we get earnings from Bank of America, Novartis, Morgan Stanley, Lockheed Martin, and Goldman Sachs, okay? On Wednesday's going to be start to see some tech stocks reporting in. You're going to get earnings from Goldman Sachs or from Tesla, okay? Now that's a big one. That has become really the biggest report of the quarter. Tesla will report, and of course we know that their deliveries were way ahead of the numbers, and Tesla's been on a roll here recently. It's having another good day today. Let's just check in on Tesla, see how Tesla's doing.
A Cybertruck announcement, I think it was this morning.
First Cybertruck rolls off the line in Austin, Texas from the Gigafactory. How many more will roll off of that line? Okay, then Wednesday we get Netflix's report, IBM, U.S. Bank Corp, United Airlines, Las Vegas Sands, and from the company named NASDAQ. And then on Thursday we'll see earnings from Johnson & Johnson, Abbott Labs, Philip Morris, Travelers, American Airlines, Capital One, Taiwan Semiconductor, CSX, and Key Corp. And then we'll finish the week with earnings from American Express, Schlumberger, which is SLB, AutoNation, and Huntington Bankshares. So this is a good, we'll get 60 of the 500 reporting this week. We still continue to worry about China's economy. China's GDP came in at 6.3%. Which may seem pretty good, okay, but the expectations were for 7.3%. So we can, I just haven't seen any good news out of China for quite some time. China's down 0.5% today. Their GDP coming in less than expected. And then we had their industrial output growth of 4.4%, actually beating estimates. And retail sales up 3.1%. So overall, you look at the impact and you look at China's stock market, it's down 0.5%. It's just kind of been sideways recently with a drift downwards, not too good. And another big indicator of China is when we look at the copper and the base metals, they're not doing so well. Let's look at JJC, which is copper.
And even with the dollar tailwind, the dollar's today might be, if down today, it'd be the eighth day in a row that the euro is kind of beat, outdone against the dollar. And you'd think when you have the dollar kind of going down that those other commodities would kind of perk up a bit from that, but not seeing it.
No, and that was one of the surprising charts on Friday Saturday morning when I went through all the charts and where they're at right now. I think the most surprising chart for me was the U.S. dollar and how poorly it has performed in the last couple of weeks. And that's why you've seen the strength in gold. And, you know, it's not good to have that that weak dollar. And then you're seeing, like you say, copper is not looking good. I, you know, here and here, if you're an investor in your 401k or your IRA or whatever, the basic materials overall, we're talking the stuff that comes out of the earth for the most part, the miners, the Rio Tintos and the BHPs, they just don't look very good. It does not look like a good area to be invested in. And, you know, it's they basically depend highly on the strength of China. So that's another indicator that China's not doing all that well when we look at these big mining companies, Freeport, McMoRan, etc. Not looking very good right now. All right, this is the Best Stocks Now show. When we come back, we'll talk about gold, we'll talk about wheat, we'll talk about Krispy Kreme donuts, and are there dark clouds on the horizon for the U.S. economy? We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We've got NASDAQ up 72, Dow up 17, and S&P up 8 right now. So, again, a pretty good start to a new week after quite a few earnings last week. Let's just take a look at how it has gone so far on the earnings front. We are out of the gate and off to the races with the earnings season. And if we look at the stats so far, which I'm trying to find here, there it is right there. Okay, so right now we've got only 6% of the companies have reported. That's 36 of the S&P, or yeah, 30 of the S&P 500 companies. But of course this week we're going to get 60 total. 80% of the companies have beaten their earnings estimates, and 63%, which is a little on the low side, have beaten their revenue estimates. So it's about average on the companies that have beat their earnings, maybe a little above average, and a little below average on the companies that have beat their, that have beaten their revenues. Now, we're looking right now about the same still, no change really from last week, 7.1% drop in earnings for this quarter that's now being reported versus the same comparable quarter last year. Now that works out to earnings expectations for this quarter of $52.75 versus $56.69 last year. Same quarter, and the current revenue estimate is expected to be minus 0.4% for the quarter. Now, here's the biggest worry I have about the market right now, and this was the subject of my newsletter over the weekend. There's a little bit of helium in the market right now, especially in the high flyers. The S&P 500 forward P.E. ratio goes up to 19.1 this week, which is too high. We started the year at 16.7. We got as low as 15.5 back in October of last year. But we got as high as 23.5 at the beginning of 2022. So here we are at 19.1. What's the five-year average? 18.6. So, yes, the market overall, it now has a valuation problem. You know, so investing in the index, well, it still looks good from a technical point of view, but from a valuation point of view, the risk to reward is not as favorable, obviously, as it was at the beginning of the year. But having said that, you know, it looks like the Fed, maybe one or two more hikes at the most, if that. And so we're going to have a pretty steady and stable multiple in the middle of that earnings equation. Now it comes down to the E, the earnings, and how they do going forward. And like I say, we're out of the gate so far with 6%, and you've got 80% beating earnings. So it just seems like we're on a trajectory to have a pretty good earnings season again. And we could really narrow that gap. Those estimates for this year or for this quarter could end up, the actual number could end up being quite a bit higher than what we're expecting right now. So we'll see. We'll watch the pattern.
It seems like analysts, as we've kind of talked about, have really kind of lowered that hurdle threshold, right? And so who knows? You know, maybe the market could be poised to beat some of those.
I think it is. I really do. So, yeah. I think we'll come in much better than those numbers that are out there right now. Gold, the chart of gold is just so-so. It finally stopped going down. Gold and the dollar have an inverse relationship. It looks like the dollar is finally starting to level off here. So I'm not real bullish on gold. That it did have a good week last week, the best week since April. Yeah, the dollar dropped to its lowest level in more than a year.
And it's really, if you look at it, one of the big drivers of currency is interest rate differential. And, you could look at it as somewhat of a positive standpoint meaning that, the U.S. dollar, earning interest rate expectations going forward, right, have gone down. It doesn't mean that rates are going down right this minute, but the expectations are on a go-forward basis. And, you look at, say, the ECB, for example, and they may be, they started raising later, and they're a little bit later in that interest rate cycle, and they may have to continue for a bit further. And the fact that you can get a higher interest rate with a euro bond than maybe you can with a U.S. bond, and that drives those currency markets towards the euro in that example.
That's exactly right, and drives our currency down. Russia is playing the wheat card. Once again,
I saw this today, yeah.
U.S. wheat futures, they're flat now, but Russia has terminated the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which kind of ensured safe passage, by the, through the whatever strait they go through over there in the Black Sea, Ukrainian ports on the Black Sea. That could be a problem, we'll see. That's about 30% of the world's wheat. What is wheat in? A lot.
Almost everything. Yeah.
And corn, right? Or in almost everything. Those are grains. They're very important.
Yeah, and country like some countries, you got some of the most stable countries in sub-Saharan Africa, like Nigeria, for example. They're having, high food inflation, food shortages. And so, not a good time to cut off the wheat supply, right, to that ends up making it in a lot of those countries in North Africa and sub-Saharan Africa and elsewhere.
Now, there's a trace amount of wheat in a Krispy Kreme donut. If you analyze
just
it
under
in the lab,
right.
You take out the sugar, you take out the fat, and you'll find a little bit of wheat in there somewhere. It's partnering with M&M candy for the first time. I was this does sound good. Okay, I'm going to look for these at the local Kroger, Harris Teeter supermarket. This are going to contain four. Their new dozen is going to have four chocolate ice donuts topped with M&Ms and four. Here's the one that gets me: four peanut butter cream filled donuts topped with M&Ms. That sounds pretty good, and yes, there's a little bit of wheat in there. Okay, now, there's always some bears out there. Jefferies analysts see dark clouds on the horizon for the U.S. economy. In a note to investors, warning of dark clouds. Now, my newsletter, I wasn't warning, but I was bringing up the case, the fact, that there's a lot of helium in the high-flying stocks right now. And I'm talking the Cathie Wood-type stocks, the Coinbase.
And the P.E. ratio side of things.
Yes,
right.
The P.E., the Robinhood. We're just looking at numbers, that's all, and P.E. valuations. And a 19.1 valuation on the S&P 500. So it means, putting new money, you have to be much more careful about that. Okay, now as we look at the macro economy, what is that looking like going forward? Well, when we come back, we'll weigh in with Jefferies, what they say about it. We know where Morgan Stanley stands. The world's going to come to the end any day, right, Morgan Stanley? Anyways, we'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we always got to throw a little cold water. There are other firms that have to throw some cold water on the markets from time to time. Jeffries, in a note to investors warning of dark clouds on the horizon, Jeffries says Monday that Wall Street could see potential headwinds in the second half of the year. And what would be in those headwinds? Well, they worry that investors are underestimating the likelihood of a recession. Investors have increasingly given up on the U.S. recession forecast. Well, you know, there's something to be said. Usually it's when you least expect it. You know, we've been expecting one for years now, and now we've kind of given up on forecasting a recession, so I guess that raises the probabilities maybe. He says that classic, this is Christopher Wood, classic macro signals continue to suggest a coming U.S. downturn. The U.S. stock market has become even more vulnerable to the earnings downgrades, which would come with the recession. Now, that's what I'm watching for. I watch for it every week, every day. Any kind of downgrades that start to occur to that aggregate S&P 500 number, and of course, it's going to show up first in the individual companies that make up the S&P 500. And that is why those 60 companies that are going to report this week and the 30 that have already reported, each one of them is important. And, you know, what have we seen so far? 80% have beat their earnings estimates. So that means, at least for now, there's no sign of an earnings recession. But we always look ahead, especially at the guidance that these companies give, because that impacts next year's earnings estimates. And I can just say that as of now, it can change quickly, but as of now, there are no signs of an earnings recession out there on the horizon, although one will happen. It's inevitable. It's not a question of if it will happen. It's when it will happen.
And the pessimists will be right at some point. Right?
Yes.
Goldman Sachs gives, keep going with it.
They give the chances of a recession at 25% for the next 12 months with inflation sticky. And Goldman Sachs will report earnings this week. We'll see how they do. Maybe they should mind their own house, right, than being worried about other people's houses. They haven't been a very good performing stock for quite some time.
Yeah, definitely not compared to Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan. So.
And, you know, look, so 25% chance or 75% that there won't be a recession, according to Goldman Sachs. Solar and wind to produce a third of global energy by the end of the decade. Well, that's still 7 years away, 6.5 years away, 30%, 33%. That means 67% is still natural gas and coal and oil. And it just seems to me like there's a lot of areas that will be untouchable by wind and solar, and we've mentioned that before, the airports, the military, the big freighters, the ocean liners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Cars are definitely headed in that direction. Homes are headed in that direction. Let's hope we don't have, remember, you know, in history shows that I don't know how many years ago, it was over 100 years ago, where there was a big volcanic blast out of Iceland. And that, you know, fallout covered the earth for a year. There was no summer. There was no crops that year because the sun couldn't filter through to the crops. So we also have that kind of risk, the opposite type of risk that, you know, global warming would be.
crude oil in Russia topped $60, which was the price cap that they placed on it. Well, it's rising, and crude oil has also been rising here in the U.S. as those cuts by Saudi Arabia are starting to finally show up. I would just say that that's probably, outside of tech, that's probably the most promising looking. Well, home builders are number two, the building sector. Number three most promising sector right now is kind of the energy service stocks, especially. Not so much the oil producers, but the Baker Hughes and the Halliburton, et cetera. And Russia's, they're selling. Oh, yeah, there's a black market for oil. Who's buying? China, India. They're getting oil for way under market prices by buying their shadow tankers. And, in fact, Russia is raising their number of tankers. The Mountain Valley Pipeline asks the U.S. Supreme Court to lift the construction stay. This thing spends more time in court than it does transporting natural gas. This is Joe Manchin's baby up there in West Virginia. It was stopped once again by a judge. And now they're going to the Supreme Court to overturn that. Okay, now, how much helium is in the market? Well, I'm just going to, here's some of your leading ETFs from last week. How about Coinbase? There's actually an ETF that is 1.5 times the stock, Coinbase. That was the leading ETF last week. It was up 52%. And that's one of the reasons that ARK Funds had a good week, because she owns a lot of stocks that are dependent upon Bitcoin.
She's about the only owner of Coinbase.
Yes. And, of course, her own ETF, TARK, which is double ARK. How much helium is in the market? Well, TARK was up 23% last week. So investors might want to start looking at SARK, which is double inverse Cathie Woods, but double bullish Cathie Woods did well last week. But it just shows you, okay, we saw this same kind of activity back in the COVID year. Towards the end of the year, we saw this same kind of activity in these high-flying stocks. Now, it's not as hot, it's not as overheated as it is right now, as it was back then, but it is definitely something to keep an eye on. Okay, the electric truck battle is on. Of course, Rivian, probably, and Ford Lightning, those are the two big players right now in electric trucks, and they're not cheap.
Well, the Lightning got a little bit cheaper. I think they just announced, I guess, a price cut this morning around 17%. I guess about the same time that Tesla announced the Cybertruck rolling.
They're after
the,
market share, because you know what? The truck is Ford's baby. I mean, that is their
that F-150. I mean, that was the highest selling truck, for I don't know, decade maybe, or if not longer.
Well, it's going to charge very quickly, this Cybertruck from Tesla. This will be their fifth different model of cars that they've put out. The Cybertruck is expected to be priced at about $70,000. I think I bought my first condo for around that price. Tesla Cybertruck buyers may be eligible to receive a tax credit of $7,500. That would help. If they can get that. And Elon Musk is estimating that Tesla could sell between 250,000 and 500,000 Cybertrucks a year once they get up to full speed. And then, of course, Chevrolet's got their entrant, the Silverado, and the GMC Sierra is also an entrant into electric trucks. Okay, now, one last... Raymond James is upgrading the home builders. I would just say that upgrading the home builders at this point in the game, it's like you kind of, where have you been?
Right.
The home builders have been a leading sector for about 8-9 months now. Raymond James upgraded its rating on 5 home builder stocks. They continue to hit new highs, by the way. question is, can they continue to hit new highs? Toll Brothers, Lennar, Pulte Homes, KBH, MDC, those are all your usual players. I saw D.R. Horton, which has been behaving like a red-hot AI stock here recently. Instead it's drywall and plumbing and thrown together, and it's a little bit of wood in there somewhere, and some artificial grass, and you got a D.R. Horton home or one of these other big builders' homes. But they continue to be. Now, I'm also seeing a lot of downgrades on valuations. I think that's going to be a pattern. Pepsi downgraded by Morgan Stanley with valuation seen as played out. ConAgra dips after Morgan Stanley warns about valuation. So that's going to be a little bit of a pattern. And one other one, AMD gets a little bit of a downgrade today. It's down a little bit, probably on valuation concerns. And I would say that's my biggest concern in the market right now, valuation concerns. Okay, what's moving? There's quite a bit moving in the market. In fact, it looks better underneath the surface than it looks on top of the surface. We'll be right back.
You gotta know where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Of the day is CIDP, which is chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. You got any of that, Barry, in there?
I'm glad.
Ankles, your feet.
I'm glad you tackle all these words.
It's a neurological disorder. Don't you remember this from biology? It's a neurological disorder that involves progressive weakness and reduced senses in the arms and legs. It's caused by damage to fat-based protective covering on nerves called the myelin sheath. All right, so what's the stock involved in this? Argenx, ARGX. I'm going to call that the stock of the day. Look at that chart on Argenx. This is a biotech out of the Netherlands. I actually owned it back in February. Looks like I sold it too soon. Probably got stopped out of it or whatever. Just personally, I owned a little bit. It's a $27 billion company, so it is a pretty major player in biotech. Look at that chart today. It's up 31% as the phase 2 trials of their drug meets its endpoint to help your nerve endpoints if you have CIDP. We'll call that the stock of the day. And then there's another one that's associated with it.
That chart is crazy.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's going straight up.
And then BBIO is its distant cousin. It's also, I believe, involved. Let me just make sure. I think so. I think the two are probably in cahoots on this. BBIO up 62% are among, partnering with you. Rare diseases, blah, blah. I don't think it is. I think it has something of its own. Let's see. I'm trying to
find
out.
Own, it looks like it has its own liftoff there, huh?
Yeah, there's something. I don't know what disease it's attacking there, but they're having good luck too. Now in the Dow, the big tech's taking the day off. I think valuation's a little bit of an issue here. Travelers is the leader in the Dow. The insurance stocks are having a good day for whatever reason. Travelers is up 1.4%. We have an insurance stock in our ultra growth portfolio that's having a very good day. That happens to be ACGL. We don't own all tech stocks. ACGL is a company that offers insurance, mortgage insurance, reinsurance, mainly in the U.S., Europe, and Canada. That's having a very good day. It's up 4.8%, breaking out to a new all-time high today, ACGL.
ServiceNow is having a decent day.
ServiceNow is having a pretty good day. ServiceNow is up 2.2% as it breaks out to a 52-week high. The software stocks, in fact, are having a pretty decent day with Workday, ServiceNow. Intel's up 1.0%. It's hard to get a read on Intel, but it's definitely been moving in the right direction overall. And there's definitely hope there for kind of a turnaround from what's been a very dull stock.
That Oscar continues to rocket as well.
Yeah, Oscar's doing well.
4% today, 4.8% actually. Yeah.
Now, here's the ones I love to knock, okay? AT&T is probably the worst stock in the entire market. Oh, I'm sure there's worse stocks, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. AT&T gets written about more often than any other stock on Seeking Alpha. How can you pass up that dividend, which is now at 8% dividend yield? You know where this stock is at right now? $13.88. It's down 4.3% today. What else did AT&T do wrong? They wrapped their copper wiring for cable with lead. And this is affecting several. It's also affecting Verizon. Are they going to have to dig up and replace all this stuff? Verizon's dividend yield is 7.9%. Verizon's down 3.5% today on the same concerns with the lead. Get the lead out.
So
okay.
So is the lead, they think the lead's going to, like, leak into the environment?
Or? Well, sure, yeah. I mean, that's just not good. Lead is not good.
No.
To have it in your going into
drinking
your home
and
where you're watering, you got maybe have a well water that you have. The other one that's getting crushed today, and I think I know why. I think if we put two and two together, we'll know why Ford is down four. Now Ford's down five, so we got
Now
we
is got a 17% drop in the that they're cutting on some of those models of the Lightning, plus another competition, another player into the mix.
I think we can thank Elon Musk because he's snickering over there at Ford. Put 2.5 plus 2.5 together, and you get minus 5% on Ford. It's cleared down to $14.23, a stock I wouldn't own. And then the other one that's getting hit on this news is GM, because they're going to be coming out with their Silverado, and they're under the same problems that Ford has with this new Tesla Cybertruck. GM is down 3.1%, these legacy companies, soggy, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. That's my acronym of the day. I've called them that for quite some time. Over at the S&P 500, there's really not much there. The big tech is taking the day off other than Workday, ServiceNow. Apple's having a decent day. Netflix is having a decent day, but I'm not seeing the others. I think Microsoft's kind of on hold until we get the news, the final culmination. Now, in the QQQ, ATVI is the biggest winner. That's Activision. It's up 2.7%. These vacation stocks have been doing really well. Booking.com.
Booking's having a decent day as well. I was looking at that.
Expedia's having a good day, and so is, one where you rent homes?
Airbnb.
Airbnb is also having a very good day as we're in the height of vacations. I don't go anywhere near Isle of Palms this time of year. It's like, wow, everybody from Pennsylvania, from the Jersey Shore is down here. Okay, well, you know what? That's it. If you want to see last week's newsletter Friday, we had a stock, a best idea. It's one of the stocks I just mentioned is having a good day today. So that's always good. I don't know if it was me mentioning it or it's just a coincidence. And, of course, on the downside here, you're seeing some bad days from stocks that you would expect to see bad days from. Avoid soggy stocks. Avoid dogs of the Dow. Get Bill Gunderson's newsletter. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. Maybe you got some of these soggy stocks. I'd be mad if I were you. I would be mad. And I would pick up the phone and call 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.